Good morning, everybody. Dr. Ben Edwards here. Welcome to another episode of You're the Cure. We've had an exciting last few weeks talking about cardiovascular disease in particular. If y'all didn't hear those episodes, I'd go back. Dr. Chris Kenobi, looking at more of a historical perspective and specifically his research leading to the pro-inflammatory vegetable oils as being a root cause, and processed food in general being a root cause of this chronic inflammatory disease and cardiovascular disease in particular over the past 100 years. And then the following week, we had Dr. Malcolm Kendrick out of the UK, his book, The Clot Thickens. It's a great book. That was a great interview talking about heart disease and that saturated fat and cholesterol are not the root cause culprit. And we got into this discussion a little bit on this new term, the glycocalyx, I think new to most listeners. We talked about that glycocalyx a little bit and what that was. I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that interview, especially if you're still stuck on the cholesterol saturated fat hypothesis for heart disease. And then last week, amazing interview with Dr. DeBrincat out of Florida, who has actually worked with the GlycoCheck camera and the EndoCalyx Pro supplement. So y'all got a taste of that last week. But this week, we're going to dive a little deeper with Dr. Hans Vink, the PhD researcher who's, I would say, the world's authority probably on the glycocalyx and has published many, many, many studies. And we're going to talk with Dr. V about some of those studies. And then also Bob Long, who's president of the company, brought Bob along today to share his story. So we're going to kind of come full circle on this, the glycocalyx, the GlycoCheck machine, which, by the way, we've had lots of people contacting us. We do have the camera in our clinic now. We've been running tests on it this past week, and we hope to have it launched and active, ready to go by the time this show airs next week. So, but we will announce that. We'll send an email out for those that have been waiting and are on our waiting list. You'll be the first ones. We'll email you. And then general public, the plan is for y'all to be able to just jump on our website and schedule yourself. So be looking on the website in the coming weeks for that. All right, enough housekeeping there. Dr. Bob Long, welcome to the show. And Dr. Hans Vink is in the background there. We're going to start with Bob, though, kind of get his perspective. He has a great story. Bob, I've heard you on a few different interviews kind of share your story. So why don't you just tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today and how you became to understand what the glycocalyx is.
Well, sure. Thank you, Dr. Edwards. So for me, the journey and understanding of the glycocalyx all started, probably back in 2009 with a health scare. I had just been involved with a company that we had sold and I'd been developing the sales and marketing group for the company, and we'd sold it to a large French company, and I had set up all the distribution all over the world. So I traveled a lot and really worked myself pretty hard. And I live in Utah, where I live is in a little town called Alpine. It's right up against the mountains, so I can go hiking around in the foothills. And what I started to notice is when I'd start to exert myself, I'd have a tightness in my chest. And so when I went in for my annual physical with my personal physician, who was a friend of mine, I told him what was happening. He said, well, that doesn't sound good. Obviously, what you probably got is a blockage in your heart. And so, you know, doesn't sound like you've had a heart attack yet, but, you know, you could be a candidate for a big heart attack at any time. So he immediately got on the phone and called a cardiologist down at the regional medical center, and I went down to the regional medical center, figured I'd be down there just for, you know, an hour or so for my appointment. And when I got there, I actually went into the cath lab and met with the cardiologist and explained what was happening. He came in, talked to me. They did a few tests. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you haven't had a heart attack. You're not having a heart attack now. But what we think's happening is we think you've probably got a blockage in one of your arteries. And the only way to really solve that is if we go in and we'll go in with a little camera up through your groin, and we'll be able to see if there's a blockage. And if there is, we'll just put a stent in, and that will open that up so a blood clot can't get stuck there and cause you to have a heart attack. So I'm thinking, wow, that's not what I planned to do today. I didn't know that was where this was going. So I discussed it with my wife. We decided, well, we better see what do what the doctor says. So I was the last procedure of the day because they were doing procedures all day. So about 7 o'clock that night, my turn rolled around, and they did the procedure. And then when I came back around, because you're under a local anesthetic, then the cardiologist came in and said to me, this is literally what he said. He said, well, I've got good news and I've got bad news. And I go, wow, that's an interesting reaction. I said, well, let's hear the good news first. And he goes, well, you didn't have any blockages. And I go, wow, that's great. And I said, well, what's the bad news then? And he goes, well, we don't really know what's causing that tightness in your chest. And so I thought about that for a minute. And what went through my mind is, you got to be kidding me. I sat down here all day. We went through this procedure, which cost probably my insurance company tens of thousands of dollars. And I'm glad I didn't have a stent, and I guess I'm glad you did it, because if I would have had a blockage, I'm glad you would have fixed it. But the more I said, so what do you recommend? And so then he proceeded to write out, four or five different prescriptions for me. He said, you need to start exercising more. You need to lose some weight. All the standard stuff when you go to your doctor that they always tell you. And he wrote out, prescriptions. And I looked at the list of prescriptions and I said, well, how long do I have to take these? And he said, oh, probably the rest of your life. And I said, okay. And so I went home, and the more I thought about it, and then this was clear back in 2009, so quite a while ago. And so I Googled the prescriptions. And, I tried to understand what the drugs they were prescribing to me did. And then I also was looking to understand what the side effects were. And I kept saying, after all the things that the drug did, there was a big, long list of side effects. And so my conclusion almost became, well, gosh, some of the side effects might be worse than what they don't know is wrong with me. And so the doctor had made an appointment for me to come back in 90 days. So I started exercising more. I lost some weight. And I chose not to fill the prescriptions. And I know that's probably not what a doctor would want to hear. But I thought, I'm going to try losing some weight and exercising first and see if that improves what I did. So I went back to the cardiologist. My blood pressure had improved. And he said, oh, whatever you're doing, it's working great. Come back and we'll do another scan on you in a year and see if anything's changed. And so the more I thought about that experience, I had a weird reaction in that it kind of made me mad. And it made me think to myself, how many tens of thousands in the people in the world is this happening to every day? And this is the best that medical technology has to offer. And so we had just sold a company. And so I just had the luxury of having some time and some money on my hands. So I wanted to know what was wrong with me. Or I wanted to know what's happening to me. And so I kind of set out on a quest to figure that out. And by accident, I got introduced to the concept of the glycocalyx. And when my friend first told me about it, glycocalyx is a really big word. And I even had a hard time saying it. So I spelled it out phonetically, glycocalyx, so I could even say it. And when he told me about the glycocalyx and what it did, sometimes you have what I call lightning bolt moments in life. And this was one of those moments where I thought, oh my gosh, if this is true, if there's this protective coating that lines all of your vascular system, maybe this is what's broken down on me, and maybe I could fix it. And this would be happening to everybody else in the world. And so what I did is I started to research and become an expert on the glycocalyx. And as I started to research, I found that there was one person in the world, was a researcher in the Netherlands, Dr. Hans Vink. And he had devoted all of his research to helping discover a protective coating that lines your whole vascular system called the glycocalyx. And when he first got involved, and I'll let him tell about it, it was really a hypothesis. They just thought that your vessels and your capillaries and your arteries were just tubes, and that was nothing really that lined them. They knew there was an endothelium, but they didn't know about the structure that we'll talk about today called the glycocalyx. So he set out on a quest to discover that. And so he and his research team is the group that proved to the world and got the first images, 20, 25 years ago, I guess it is by now, that proved to the world that inside your vascular system, there's this protective coating. And so as I started to understand the importance of the glycocalyx and understand what causes it to break down, and then what are the physical implications if it breaks down, then I thought, well, what if I could come up with a formula that people could take that could restore that protective coating, which would then make you be as if you were a younger person again. So that's what I set out to do. So I did all kinds of research and created what became ultimately today Endocalyx Pro, which is a patented product. It's patented as a treatment for the endothelial glycocalyx. We can talk more about that at the end of the call if we have time. But it's the Endocalyx product is proven to restore and protect your glycocalyx. So the way I met Dr. Vink is after I developed my first formula, then I knew that Dr. Vink was just developing the GlycoCheck system. So I flew over to the Netherlands to meet with him and be tested. And I'd been taking my product for a while, so I wanted to find out if what I was developing worked. And so I went over to the Netherlands, spent the day with Dr. Vink. He answered a lot of my questions, and then he tested me with the GlycoCheck device. And he tested me twice, and then I told him about what I explained to you as far as my health situation. And he's a really nice guy. And he said, well, Bob, I don't want you to be disappointed when I measure you. You probably won't get a very good score. At that time, all we measured with the GlycoCheck was just the thickness of the glycocalyx. And he said, you probably won't get a good score. And that's what caused your problems. And so he tested me twice. And then he said, I'm really surprised and I'm really confused, because you just got one of the best scores, if not the best score of anybody I've ever measured. And that's totally unexpected. I never would have expected that. And so I said, well, I've been working on a product to restore the glycocalyx, and I wanted to get tested and see if your device could pick up and tell me if I was on the right track. So it appears that I am on the right track. And so we decided to become partners. That was clear back in 2011 or 12. And we started working together, and that's how we came together. Then we formed Microvascular Health Solutions, further developed the GlycoCheck device and Endocalyx Pro. And so we're the co-founder of both GlycoCheck and Microvascular Health Solutions. And we have the GlycoCheck device that Dr. Edwards has in his office, and we have developed the therapeutic that's available through doctors called Endocalyx Pro. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Vink.
Good morning, Dr. Edwards. It's my pleasure to be on your show. My story started when I was in training as a physics student in the mid-1980s of the past century. As part of that training, I started doing rotations at different centers for research. And one of the centers I was visiting is the Academic Medical Center in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. And they have a very interesting department called medical physics, where medical trained people are collaborating with engineers and physicists on different levels. And in one of those visits, I was exposed to a research group that was studying the microvascular system. So they were using big microscopes in the lab to look at the blood vessels, and particularly the really tiny blood vessels called capillaries. So as you know, the blood is transported from the heart in large vessels called arteries to the tissues. And you know, after the blood passes through the tissues, it's collected in big veins collected back to the heart. But when you take a big microscope and look at each individual tissue, you will see that every tissue cell in your body is very close to one of those tiny capillary blood vessels where the nutrients and the oxygen is actually delivered to the tissues. And when people started looking with these big microscopes at these small blood vessels, and it started pretty much in the 1960s, 1970s, when a lot of engineers and bioengineers and physicists entered the medical field, what they didn't expect to find is those small blood vessels almost appear to be empty. We know if you take a blood sample from a large blood vessel and you put it in the centrifuge, that 50% of the blood is filled with red blood cells, and the other 50% is a transparent fluid called plasma. Well, when they were taking the first images with the big microscopes of those capillary blood vessels, the first estimates of the red blood cell concentration in those vessels was as low as 5 to 10% instead of the 50% red cell filling that you would expect to find in those vessels. At the same time, finding these very low perfused capillary blood vessels under resting conditions, they also observed that when people start exercising or when the brain starts functioning real hard during solving questions or after a meal, that suddenly the blood content in those capillaries could increase 3 to 4-fold instantly. So not only under resting conditions, those capillaries were almost empty with red blood cells, and sometimes suddenly red blood cell concentration could increase several fold. So there was a big conundrum at that time: what was causing the almost empty capillary blood vessels at that time? Well, one individual spending a lot of time in the early days trying to solve that question is a wonderful researcher called Brian Dooling in Charlottesville, Virginia at that time. And he started looking in more detail to try to solve that question. He was working with one of his students, Bruce Klitzman, and they came up with an hypothesis that maybe there's something else inside those small blood vessels that occupies a lot of space and limiting the volume available for blood to flow through. So the blood was not really diluted, but it was something else that was transparent and hard to see, occupying a lot of space in those tiny blood vessels. Another experiment that he did was working with a friend of his, Claude Desjardins. He used really tiny micropipettes and then capturing the blood from individual capillary blood vessels and then take that blood sample into a centrifuge again. And when you take a blood sample from an almost empty capillary and then you put it in the centrifuge, then again, you end up with almost 50% red blood cells and 50% plasma. So demonstrating that the blood was not diluted when it was flowing through those capillaries, that just was only a very small volume of blood in capillaries at any given time. And then they came up with the idea that there was something like a transparent gel called glycocalyx, occupying a lot of volume under resting conditions in those capillaries, limiting the volume available to red blood cells and plasma. And that by some unknown mechanism, when you start exercising, the blood volume could increase because the glycocase would become more permeable and allowing more nutrients to be delivered to the sites of tissues that needed more nutrition at the time of exercise. So that was about the time I started the project working in Amsterdam and soon moved over to Charlottesville, Virginia to work more with Brian Dooling to try to find some evidence that this glycocalyx was really there inside those capillaries occupying a lot of space, because at that time it was just an hypothesis and nobody really believed that those tiny blood vessels that were treated at that time as glass tubes, that something would be sticking to the wall and occupying a lot of space, limiting the blood volume in those capillaries. So the first 2 years I spent in Brian Dooling's lab trying again with big microscope to image those capillaries and to see if anything is sticking to the wall, some evidence of a glycocalyx to be there. So I injected a lot of proteins labeled with fluorescent labels to see if those proteins would stick to the wall, and then exposing those capillaries to high intensity light to see if those dye-labeled proteins would be sticking to the endothelium. For 2 years, I couldn't find any evidence that anything was sticking to the endothelium until I realized at some point that after turning on those bright lights, looking at those capillaries, when I switched back, looking at those capillaries after I switched off the bright light, then suddenly, instead of only one or two red blood cells in that capillary, the number of red blood cells had tripled or quadrupled. So they were very full with red blood cells after turning off the bright light. And then we realized that just turning on the bright light with the dye inside those vessels damaged whatever was causing the red cell content to be low to start with. Then we started zooming in with higher magnifications, looking what was happening by turning on the bright light. And then we realized if you look closely and you look at one of those capillary blood vessels and you look at individual red blood cells flowing through, that under resting conditions, if you have a healthy microvascular system, red blood cells don't touch the wall of those vessels, which is actually surprising because those capillary diameters are really, really small and red blood cells are bigger than the inner diameter of those tubes. So a red blood cell, on average, undeformed, is about 7 microns in diameter. Those capillary blood vessels are as small as 4 to 5 microns in diameter. So the red blood cells need to be deformed before they can fit into the capillary tubes. And even then, when they flow through, when you look carefully at high magnification with a big microscope, you see there's a big gap between the edge of the center of the vessel where the red cells are flowing and the luminal surface of the endothelium. And that gap can be as big as up to a micron. So in a 5-micron vessel, there's only in the center, 3 microns are perfused with red blood cells. And there's this 1-micron gap between the red blood cells and the endothelium. Well, in terms of volume, whatever is in that gap takes up a huge amount of the volume of the blood vessel. But the volume of a capillary tube, which is like a little cylinder, goes by the square of the diameter. So the anatomical diameter, if you take 5 squared, would be 25. But the blood-filled lumen would only be 3 squared, would be 9. So only 9 out of 25 would be blood perfused, which means that 16 out of 25, so almost twice as much as volume as the blood volume, would be occupied by whatever is in that space between the red cells and the endothelium. So having got some first indications that there's really something really big there inside those capillary tubes where red blood cells cannot flow, we started diving a little bit deeper, and I spent a few years together with a very patient researcher called Bernard Vandenberg. And he further optimized another imaging technique called electron microscopy to try to look in more detail at the nanometer level what's inside that space between the red cells and the endothelium. And one thing we realized that whatever is in that space occupying a lot of volume would disappear as soon as you take tissue samples and put it under a conventional electron microscope. And then we realized that the glycocalyx gel, we later could define what was there, was very well hydrated, consisting out of polysaccharides that are produced by the endothelium, polysaccharides like heparin sulfate and hyaluronic acid. And those polysaccharides bind a lot of plasma proteins, and that those proteins suck in a lot of water into that glycocalyx gel that's protecting the endothelium from being touched by the flowing blood. And then we realized that conventional electron microscopic techniques, one of the first steps before you can take an image is to dehydrate your tissue samples. So you take out all the water, before you can take an image. And by taking out all the water, the glycocalyx gel just collapses because, 98 to 99% of the volume of the glycocalyx gel is water bound to the proteins. So if you dehydrate, there'll be nothing there to visualize. So long story short, after 4 years, he optimized staining and stabilization techniques of glycocalyx before taking an image. And then in the early 2000s, we had the first real detailed images of that glycocalyx growing on the surface of the endothelium, demonstrating to the world, again, that there is a big glycocalyx matrix on the endothelium inside the small vessels, but also in large vessels, taking up a lot of volume and protecting the endothelium and your blood vessels against damage. So those findings or those early images really convinced the world and many others that glycocalyx is real. It's part of the endothelium of your small vessels and also your large vessels. And that opened the door to start studying what the functional implications are of this glycocalyx. And again, last two or three decades, we realized that anything that you know of function of the endothelium or function of healthy blood vessels is affected by this glycocalyx polysaccharide gel that's growing on the surface of your endothelium. So protecting against leakage of proteins or water or leakage even of cholesterol over the endothelium into the vessel wall is prevented by this healthy glycocalyx, because those polysaccharides are so tight that the openings between these polysaccharides are very small, much smaller than the size of plasma proteins and cholesterol molecules. Furthermore, if blood flows through your blood vessels and it flows very fast, we know that healthy blood vessels start producing nitric oxide to dilate your blood vessels, prevent any damage. Now, we also realize that the sensing of blood flow over the endothelium is also mediated by those glycocalyx polysaccharides. And furthermore, as I said before, not only red blood cells are not touching the endothelium because of the glycocalyx is in between, also other cells like blood platelets for coagulation or leukocytes, so inflammatory cells for the inflammatory response, they don't touch the wall. They don't start coagulation processes or start inflammatory processes in the presence of a healthy glycocalyx. So you need to get rid of your glycocalyx first before those other processes can actually start. So over the years that followed, we and many others found accumulating evidence that glycocalyx is not only there and occupies a lot of space, but also is crucial to maintain a healthy microvascular and macrovascular function. And after accumulating all those data, we started looking for ways to also demonstrate that in humans, and switching from experimental settings more to clinically applicable medical devices.
Right. And that's what I want to talk about more when we get back from our break. We're up against the break. Just for the listeners out there, what Dr. Vink just described, these red blood cells flowing through these tiny, tiny blood vessels called capillaries and not even touching the wall of the blood vessel. It's fascinating, but you can go to microvascularhealth.com and there's a video of these red blood cells flowing through a capillary, and you'll be able to see what he's talking about, what he's describing here of a healthy glycocalyx. So I encourage you to go there to that website. We've got to take this break. When we get back from the break, we'll continue with Dr. Hans Vink, and he will explain further what his research has shown more recently when that glycocalyx is damaged, what that results as far as symptoms and diseases. And then we'll talk more about how to keep a healthy glycocalyx. So y'all stick with us. Bob, what's the best websites for people to look at? I just said the one, but I think there's a few more. What are the best ones for the listeners to go look at for more information?
As you mentioned, glycocalyx.com talks about the GlycoCheck device. And there's a video they can watch, and it shows what the GlycoCheck system does. They can also go to microvascular.com. And then they can also go to glycocalyx101.com. That's another website if they want to learn more about the glycocalyx.
All right, great. Okay, everybody, stick with us. We will be right back after the break and continue with Bob Long and Dr. Hans Vink. All right, everybody, we're back. Dr. Ben Edwards here. You're the Cure. Just a reminder, all these shows are archived on our website, veritasmedical.com. Under the resource tab, you can click on podcast and It will be there. And also on iTunes, You're the Cure is the name of the podcast on iTunes. So I encourage y'all to share this link with all your friends and family. The reason I'm spending so much time on the glycocalyx and microvascular health these past few episodes, and will continue to, and the reason we've invested in the camera and the Endocalyx Pro, is because this, I believe, is a very foundational piece to health. And we'll talk about this in a minute with Dr. Vink regarding what will keep the glycocalyx healthy. But I can almost predict that it's going to be the basic diet and lifestyle things that we talk about every week. You need to get up and move and not sit all day long. You need to not smoke. You need to keep your blood sugars level at a healthy level. You need to be at peace and not stressed out all the time. It's these basic things, some healthy sunshine exposure, eat real food, not processed food, stay well hydrated, remineralize yourself because our food is demineralized. So these basic things, I believe, if you're doing those and you come take a picture with the GlycoCheck at our clinic, hopefully I predict your score will be decent. But we're going to talk about that in the remainder of the show here. And also if you have a disease, say chronic kidney disease, and maybe facing dialysis or maybe even on dialysis, or definitely cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, erectile dysfunction, if you have a history of dementia in your family, we'll get into all these different potential diseases that might be impacted by glycocalyx. So, Dr. Vink, let's continue. We've got about 23 minutes or so left in the show, and I'm just going to give it to you to talk about. You explained in the first half of the show how you proved, and you and others, your team, proved there is a glycocalyx, a gel-like layer that protects the inside of these blood vessels. But now can you describe some of the clinical applications, some of the diseases that might come from a damaged glycocalyx, the factors you have found that do damage the glycocalyx, what could potentially protect that or repair that? Obviously, the Endocalyx Pro supplement we'll talk about. So just kind of take it from there clinically. What have you seen over the past few years in your research?
Well, thank you. I'd love to continue. So before I switch to some studies that we did with the GlycoCheck device, getting started to building the GlycoCheck device, we did start doing studies to see what the functional implications are, also in clinical settings of a damaged glycocalyx. And just to name a few, one of the studies that we did is on atherosclerosis, so a large vessel disease where cholesterol accumulates at predisposed sites at branching points of large blood vessels. And when we look in more detail at those sites where the cholesterol starts leaking into the large vessels and causing the plaque, then we see that at a very small site where the blood flow is very complex. So after branching point, the blood is not streaming just forward, it's just circulating like a side branch of a river. And those sites where the endothelium is not exposed to a normal flow of blood over the endothelium, but exposed to this circulating pools of blood, we realize that glycocalyx at those sites is very small, and thereby not protecting the endothelium, causing the endothelium to be very permeable. And then allowing leakage of cholesterol over the endothelium to accumulate in the vessel wall and starting the process of atherosclerosis. Another finding that we did is on the inflammatory process. When we look at vessels and we measure the position of the leukocytes flowing in the blood, they don't touch the endothelium. And if glycocalyx is damaged, then suddenly those leukocytes can make full body contact with the endothelium and start sticking to the wall and causing local inflammation. And another example that turned out to be crucial also for further development of the GlycoCheck device is one of the biggest consequences of breakdown of your glycocalyx is that you start leaking a lot of proteins and fluids over the wall, over the endothelium of the small capillaries that we discussed. So you remember the capillaries are crucial for transporting nutrients and oxygen to your tissue cells. And every tissue cell is very close to one of those capillaries. Well, when glycocalyx is damaged, and it can be damaged by exposure to any of the known risk factors, high cholesterol or high glucose or high insulin or smoking or hypertension, diabetes, or genetic predisposition. So when glycocalyx gets damaged and fluid starts to leak over the endothelium and proteins start to leak over the endothelium in those small capillaries, there's a lot of pericapillary edema, a lot of fluid on the outside of the vessels. And this compresses the capillaries. They get much smaller. And at the same time, the endothelium becomes very sticky. And then cells start sticking to the endothelium, and those capillaries stop being perfused with blood. So they disappear. They don't contribute to the transport of nutrients and oxygen. One of the examples of a specific organ problem can arise from, you know, damaging those capillaries is in the kidneys. You know, the kidney has specialized capillaries called glomeruli capillaries, where all the blood is filtered to clean your blood. And for a long time, people didn't consider the endothelium as an important barrier in those capillaries to prevent leakage of proteins like albumin. You know, early signs of kidney failure is that albumin proteins start leaking into the urine. And so you got, you know, the foamy urine as a sign of early kidney damage. Now we realized that glycocalyx is the key protective barrier also in the kidney capillaries, preventing the breakdown of those capillaries and the leakage of albumin into the urine and further breakdown of your kidney function. So after doing all those studies, realizing that it might be clinically relevant, we started working on the GlycoCheck device. And then the GlycoCheck device, you know, basically measures how healthy your glycocalyx is by measuring how deep the red cells can actually penetrate into the glycocalyx of about 100,000 vessels that we look at. So we have a measure of glycocalyx health. And at the same time, we know that one of the first functional consequences of a damaged glycocalyx is that you start losing those capillary blood vessels. And you need as many as you can get, and when they start being damaged, they disappear. So when we start measuring how many capillaries you still have, it's the first indication of how much damage your microvascular system has already occurred over time. And we've seen in a recent study, in an obesity study, measuring about 900 healthy individuals, that, you know, the more risk you have based on classical risk factors like aging or whether you smoke or a level of obesity or hypertension, even before you develop a disease, that, you know, you can already start losing about 50% of your smallest capillaries in the onset towards organ failure. And then with the GlycoCheck device that we started developing, like say in the early 2000s, and the first prototype got released like in 2010, and also the patent on the method to measure glycocalyx in that device was published at that time. Since then, we started doing many, many different clinical studies in a wide variety of diseases. So studies going on from, for instance, type 2 diabetes. You see in early type 2 diabetes that you already start losing up to 70 or 80% of your smallest capillaries. Another study that we did is in cardiology, patients with chest pain. Realize, like the story of Bob was telling, people get chest pain, they go into the hospital, do an angiogram, see if the large vessels are blocked. Well, some people, they are indeed blocked. Many other people, they don't find any blockages. And we realized also with the GlycoCheck device that the same individuals that don't have large vessel blockages but do have angina and chest pain have a lot of microvascular damage also in the heart. So it's in their whole body. So we measure it with the GlycoCheck device in the mouth, and that represents the whole body. And we see in those patients a lot of microvascular damage correlating with the angina. Another study that we did in clinical studies in neurology, people with either early memory loss, cognition impairment, or suffering a stroke. And then we see if you take pictures with an MRI machine of the brain, and some people have a lot of small lesions in the brain called white matter lesions. And those individuals also have a compromised microvascular system causing leakage of fluid and proteins also into the brain, causing these leakages. Another clinical example is in pregnancy. We know some pregnant women during pregnancy get all kinds of complications called preeclampsia, which actually is a form of glycocalyx or endothelial damage. For some reason, some pregnant women are more vulnerable for glycocalyx and endothelial damage, and then blood starts sticking to the wall, they start losing a lot of proteins, causing fluids, a lot of edema formation and hypertension, which correlates very strongly with the level of glycocalyx and microvascular damage in those patients. And more recently, the biggest levels of glycocalyx damage that we find is in acute inflammatory situations, like people in the ICU with sepsis, for instance, or more recently with COVID infections. people that get really sick from a COVID infection, ending up in the ICU, they can lose up to 95% of their small blood vessels. And you can imagine if you lose 95% of your smallest blood vessels, that, you know, it's almost impossible to give sufficient nutrition and oxygen to your organs, and organs will be damaged and complications will follow. And that's also, you know, supported by other studies that we did on outcome of patients in the ICU. When we measure their microvascular health or their glycocalyx health, people in the ICU with a relatively healthy glycocalyx, they will do fine. And they have a very high chance of leaving the ICU without any problems. However, if you are in the ICU with a compromised glycocalyx and compromised microvascular system, the longer you stay in the ICU, the smaller the chance of survival from the ICU. And then to finish up, another recent study that we did was on the predictive power of doing the GlycoCheck scan. So a so-called prognostic study that we just completed with a cardiology group in Greece. So we measured about 400 healthy individuals, did a GlycoCheck scan, measure the level of glycocalyx damage that they had, and then did a six-year follow-up to see which of these individuals would get a heart attack or a stroke or would, you know, die from a cardiovascular complication. And then with, you know, the GlycoCheck device, the people with the highest level of glycocalyx damage already had a fivefold more risk of getting a heart attack or a stroke in the future. So from the 59 people that got all kinds of complications, we could already 6 years ago predict 55 of them based on a poor glycocalyx and microvascular score. So, you know, you understand there's a wide range of clinical settings that we think, you know, endothelial health and glycocalyx is very important, and we hope to make a difference by identifying those individuals at risk with the GlycoCheck device.
Right. So my audience is real familiar with what we preach and teach through this show and at our clinic, that inflammation is this common denominator in just about all diseases, from preeclampsia that you mentioned, coronary vascular disease, Alzheimer's, even depression, all the autoimmune diseases. Pretty much you could Google any disease and the word inflammation and see this connection. So one of these underlying common denominators also, obviously now after what Dr. Vink just explained, is a damaged glycocalyx. So these inflammatory processes can cause the damage to the glycocalyx, but also I think the damaged glycocalyx exacerbates the inflammatory process because you're not able to exchange oxygen and nutrients as well. So it becomes this vicious cycle. So obviously deploying some diet and lifestyle factors that can help reverse that inflammation, but reverse the damage to the glycocalyx will be very important to do. And I don't know, Bob, if you want to speak to some of this and personally in your own life, what have you done or not done, and how much of this is an easy button answer? Just take the quick fix in a bottle. And Dr. Vink, of course, you can chime in too. We've got another 10 minutes to talk about from a practical standpoint. How would you deploy this, and what can we say and not say as far as, you know, FDA, treatment, cure? I know we have to be real careful there. So, talk some about, on real practical terms, diseases, how to prevent damage to the glycocalyx besides Endocalyx Pro, and then also just how powerful is this Endocalyx Pro?
Sure, I'd love to. So I guess the good news is, in fact, as we've been talking, I just got an email from a doctor friend of mine, and he's referring another doctor, a world-renowned cardiologist, to me. And interestingly enough, in the email, what he's discovered he has is what I discovered for myself that nobody knew back in 2009. He says he has microvascular coronary heart disease with exertional angina. That describes perfectly what I have. And then what he goes on to say is, and he's a cardiologist, conventional cardiology has little to offer except a PET scan treadmill, that's what I had done. And the only treatment is medical management of angina with multiple drugs and nitroglycerin when needed. So the good news that I'll say is what I ended up having to do is figure out for myself, which people didn't really know at the time, that I had microvascular dysfunction, just as this cardiologist is describing. And interesting, he says now it's an emerging common cardiology issue with no solution until I was introduced to you guys. So so the good news is, with the GlycoCheck, we can get a microvascular health score. And so what the microvascular health score tells a patient is it's going to tell us how well, how many real capillaries are being perfused, or how many capillaries do you have to work with? Just like Hans was talking about, as we age, as we have different health conditions, different diseases, we lose those capillaries. And when you get into the most severe acute diseases that kill people, they've lost a large percentage of their capillaries. And so if we know that, and then we can also measure the systemic, an estimate of the systemic thickness of that protective coating, the glycocalyx that we've been talking about. And as you so well described, Dr. Edwards, that's the root of the whole of all inflammation in your body. And so the good news is we can measure people, we can get a baseline score. And then with Endocalyx Pro, we're in multiple studies. So Endocalyx Pro is sold as a, we call it a nutraceutical. So it's a plant-based formula. It has 8 synergistic ingredients that basically restore that glycocalyx. So it goes in and it rebuilds and fills in the holes where you've developed less glycocalyx in your body. And then it prevents, and then we further create more gel matrix that Hans talked about. And then we also, we have ingredients that prevent the glycocalyx from breaking down. So really, we restore, we regenerate, and we protect. And that's what the Endocalyx does. And so what we're able to do is we don't make disease claims. In other words, we're not going to tell you we can cure your type 2 diabetes or cure your kidney disease. But what we can do is we can give your body the micronutrients that you're not getting normally in your diet and won't get in your diet because they're just not normally found in our diet. And we know we can restore the glycocalyx when you take those. And then we can measure with the GlycoCheck. You can get a baseline score, take the product, and it's not anecdotal anymore. You can see for yourself on the scan, you'll be able to see that we improve the number of capillaries that you'll be able to see on the screen. And we also improve the thickness of your glycocalyx. So when we do that, what we do is we put your body into a natural healing state. The body really wants to heal itself. It desperately has mechanisms that are constantly being enacted to heal itself. Even the clotting mechanism is a protective mechanism that the body's trying to do to heal something. And all that's controlled, for example, in the glycocalyx. So the good news is, you know, going back to my own personal story, is once I developed the product, I solved my own problem with my microvascular angina. I don't have any microvascular angina. I don't have any blockages. When I get checked periodically with scans every few years just to see how I'm doing. And so some other things that you do need to do, it's, you know, I jokingly told Dr. Vink when he tested me all those years ago, I made a joke and said, because he didn't understand why my score was so good. And I made a joke and said, oh, I cheat. And he said, what do you mean you cheat? And I said, well, I developed this product and I wanted to get tested to see if it was really working. And we agreed it looked like I was onto something big that nobody had figured out how to do yet. And so I've always jokingly said, you can offset either your genetic response or some of the things that happen to you by taking Endocalyx Pro. But at the same time, you need to do all the things that the good doctor just talked about. You need to make sure that you exercise. You need sure that you maintain a healthy body weight if you can. You need to manage your glucose levels. Glucose levels break down the glycocalyx. So type 2 diabetes is really a microvascular disease if you think about it. Another big one that Dr. Edwards talked about is stress. And in the world that we live in today, it's a very stressful world. It's a high pressure world. And you have your sympathetic and your parasympathetic nervous system. And for most people, their body's in the fight or flight mode all the time. And so that constant stress that you're under has a negative impact on your glycocalyx. And so that's one of the things I've had to teach myself is I have to practice what I call mindfulness. I have to do breathing exercises. I have to take some time during the day just to slow down and manage the stress levels that occur in everyday life. And by doing that, I mean, if I'm under high stress, I can measure myself with the GlycoCheck and I can see the impact on my score. On the other hand, if I just take a few minutes and breathe, I can almost immediately, just by doing a breathing exercise, improve my score just a little bit. And so it's all the things you've talked about, Dr. Edwards, that are essential. We're the sum total of all the things that we do that affect our health. Our environment that we live in, pollution, as you talked about, and I think Hans talked about it, the glycocalyx or the microcirculation, and having a good microcirculation, all that capillary network, it's over 60,000 miles long if you think about it, but that's how all the nutrients, the oxygen, and hormones get delivered to every cell in your body. So if you have a condition, or if your capillary, your microvascular system's been compromised by 50 to 70%, that means you've only got 30% of a distribution network in your body to deliver those nutrients. And on the other side of it, on the venous side, all of the waste and all of the carbon dioxide is removed through your vascular system also. So really, if you think about it, your system, your whole body's starts with the pump, the heart, it squeezes, and then it pumps blood out. It starts with big pipes, then it goes down to little teeny drippers, and then it comes back through on the venous side, and it goes through the filters, which are the organs, and is recycled a few thousand times a day. And that happens millions of times during our lifetime. And so it can't be dismissed, the absolute health and importance of your microvascular system. And that's what Dr. Edwards has the ability to measure now and assess, that's never been available before now, other than the last 10 or 12 years, because we've been doing all these studies in academic research hospitals around the world.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me that of a little phrase I often tell my patients is, it's not you are what you eat, it's you are what you can digest and absorb. You can spend a lot of money on organic food and high quality supplements, but if you can't break them down and absorb them through your GI tract, then, you know, you're not getting all the benefit. But this is a deeper level. You can get it into your bloodstream if you have a healthy gut, get in microbiome, get it into the bloodstream, but then you've got to be able to, you know, soak that into the cells. How do you do that? You've got to have the healthy glycocalyx. This 60,000 miles of pipes have to be healthy. So great point, Bob. We are about out of time. I just want to squeeze this in real quick because I have a lot of patients on L-arginine and nitric oxide supplements. Dr. Murad, UT Houston, 1998, when I was a freshman in medical school down in Houston, he won the Nobel Prize for the nitric oxide work he did. And that's a vasodilator, also a signaling molecule. And I just want to tell patients out there who are so honed in on nitric oxide, it's a great molecule, super important. But if you have a healthy glycocalyx, your body's going to naturally secrete that nitric oxide when it needs it, at the right level, the right amount. And so you don't have to necessarily take all these other supplements to try to force your body into health. If you can just eat decent, move, breathe, you know, some good breathing techniques, as Bob mentioned, sunshine, the basics. And then this is almost like a safety net. And I'm not a doctor who, I mean, I purposely tell people you can't supplement your way to health. You need to diet and lifestyle your way to health. But with all the toxicity, all the stress, and I mean, I'm a realist too. I work with patients every day and they're doing the best they can on their diet and lifestyle. And I almost hated to tell people about this supplement because I think it's going to be such a powerful, almost easy button answer. But as far as like an extra safety net, I mean, I think this is just going to be a game changer in my practice. So I encourage patients to get on the website, and even general public, we're opening this up to not just our members at our clinic, but general public can get on the website, schedule a glyco check and know your score. And then Endocalyx Pro will be available on our website and in our clinic. So Dr. Vink and Bob, thank you so much for joining us. We'll have to do this again.
Well, thanks for having us. We're glad we could share this exciting new discovery that's at the very core of our health with you and your listeners.
Well, thank you all again. And listeners, thank you all for tuning in. Please share this far and wide. Our goal is to get people healthy and not need a doctor, including me, not need to come to my clinic. So share this far and wide. If you're out of town, you can come into town and get a glyco check, or you can also, Bob, maybe... isn't there an ability to type in a zip code and find these glyco check machines all over the country?
Yeah. And we're just adding locations where there's a glyco check unit every day. So we expect over the course of the next 12 months that there could be as many as 1,000 locations where people can go and get tested with the glyco check device.
Okay. Awesome. And what website will that zip code finder be at?
It's on microvascular.com.
Okay, great. All right, everybody, we'll be back next week with another episode. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the Cure.